learning that I felt here. I came, I'm sure you remember, it was 2-3 days before Pesach. And I was mamish, that's my craziest time. And I just finished giving a shiur in the shul for over an hour. I was totally washed out. But Shmuley doesn't let me off the hook. So I knew I have to come. So I was telling the people in the car when we drove up, I said, I'm going to talk for 20 minutes. And then I'll make it back to Muncie. And there was so much energy that Pashit, it's not I came to give you anything, you guys gave me. And I'm sure you remember, I almost just finished the shiur a couple of minutes ago. Now, actually, I'm awake, so you have a lot to worry about. But I came back, and I'm telling you, I was telling people in the shul, I said, imagine walking into a typical yeshiva. It was the last night of the Zman. The last night Seder of the Zman at 11:30 at night. What would the Beis Medrash look like? I don't want to visualize it to you. What the typical... So really, you gave me a tremendous amount of chizuk, so I thank you for it. Was there a few of the Rashba by any chance? No? It's okay, it's fine. Okay, we'll talk a little bit about the Inyan Purim to get a little bit of a hargosha for Purim. And in the process, we'll try to touch upon also an Inyan in Halacha that's very complicated about the Kriyas Megillah. So I'll start off with a question just about the Inyan of Kriyas Megillah. Kriyas Megillah on Purim is on a very, very elevated level as far as the obligation. It's one of those mitzvahs to Rabbanan which are like a slash mitzvah deraisa. Regarding many, many halachas. First of all, the very basic premise that we have in all of the Torah is that by Drabonon we go l'kulav. Savi Drabonon l'kulav. That's like the foundation of understanding in halacha between the deraisa and the Drabonon. The first thing, if I would ask you, what's the difference between the Drabonon and the deraisa? The obvious response would be that the deraisa is l'kulav. The deraisa is l'chum and the Drabonon is l'kulav. For some reason, thank you. For some reason, when it comes to Megillah, that rule is not kept. The rule of Safik Drabonon Lekula is not kept. The Gemara actually states in the Seches Megillah that if you have a city that's a Safik Mukav Chayma from the time of Yeshua Ben Nun, whether it's a Safik, that case of the Gemara actually is where there's a Safik about the nature of the wall. Because the wall is water, let's say, which is a questionable wall. That was a shiloh we asked in the yeshiva. One day I came in a couple of years ago in the yeshiva, I said, you know, if a wall of water is considered a wall, so Manhattan should be a ear that's Mukav Chayim and Meis Yeshua Benun. So I want to suggest that Purim here in this Beis Medrash is on the 15th day of Adar. Good idea. No, because it would be a suffix, so you'd have two Purims. Right? So, I had the whole Beis Medrash tumbling about this shiloh. Then at the end of the morning Seder, I told him Manhattan wasn't an ear. So in order for it to be a Mukav Chayim, it has to be, it was an ear that was Mukav Chayim. As far as we know, historically speaking, Manhattan wasn't an ear at that point in the time of Yeshua Ben Nun, and therefore, even though the water may have been a qualified wall, but it wasn't an ear that's Mukav Chayim. Otherwise, Manhattan would have had a shiloh, would have had to, according to the Shulchan Aruch, read both days. The Shulchan Aruch paskens that a place like Tveria is a Safik Mukav Chayim because of the water, and actually would have a chiyuv to read the Megillah both days. And the Shulchan Aruch paskens, so again, the Gemara seems to feel that by Kriyas Megillah you go to Chumrah. You have to read both days. You have to read on your Dalet and Tezvav, even though L'chari you should say it's a Safik D'Rabbanan. The Safik D'Rabbanan is L'kula. So there's many, many different explanations why Megillah is different. Why, in fact, first of all, the Ran actually, in that Gemara, the Ran learns that it's not different. The Ran says that idea of reading Megillah both days is the Milsa de Chassidus. You're not chayiv to read the Megillah both days. But many of the Rishonim, the Rashbas amongst them, and the Shulchan Aruch Paskin, that you do have to read the Megillah both days. And why is that? Because the Megillah has a tzadar isa. What's the tzadar isa to Megillah? There are actually many. But one of them is the fact that the Megillah represents Hallel. It represents also the element of Hallel, which the Gemara and Daf Yudalit in Megillah says that the reason why we don't have Hallel on Purim is because since we have the Kriyas Megillah, so the Megillah is in place of the Hallel. Kriyas Zui Alayla. Reading of the Megillah qualifies for saying Hallel. And that's why we don't have Hallel. In fact, the Me'iri is Machadish, a tremendous Chiddush in Halacha, which some of the Poskim actually bring down, that if somebody for some reason does not have a Megillah and will not have contact with the Kriyas Megillah on Purim, they have to say Hallel. Regular Hallel. Hallel of Yom Tov. Because the Gemara says, Kriyas Zui Alayla. The Rambam brings it down. That the reason why there is no Hallel on Purim is because the reading of the Megillah is in place of Hallel. So according to that, since Hallel on Moyadim is Daraisa, is Halacha Moshe Mesinai, is Daraisa, so Hallel on Purim is also Daraisa. The Gemara in Megillah says we learn out of a Kal V'Chomer, which would mean, which would translate, that the Megillah, which is substituting the Hallel, is also Daraisa. Because if the Hallel is Daraisa, and we're not doing the Hallel, we're doing the Megillah in the place of the Hallel, so now the Megillah turns into Daraisa by default. By the fact that it's replacing a Daraisa, that makes it a Daraisa. In fact, with Shlomo Katz and Vilna, I mean Vilna and Shaul Shuv has been in Shlomo, he analyzes the possibility that maybe only the Megillah you have to read both days. But maybe the other mitzvahs we do on Purim, since they do not reflect Hallel, for instance, Mishlech Manes, Matanes Levyenim, so that's Purim, that you don't have to do both days. Only the reading of the Megillah. On the other hand, the Shagas Aryeh's approach in the Turei Evan, and also it's found in the Ksav Sefer, the Shas Tshuvas HaYeshua, Sefer HaYeshua, they all feel that the reason why Megillah is the Raisa is because it's Divrei Kabbalah, because it's written in Tanakh. According to their way of learning, not only does the Megillah go l'chumrah, but Mishloach Manas and Matanas Levyanim will also go l'chumrah, because that's also in the Tanakh. So it really depends on why it's the Raisa. Then you have the famous Marcheshes in his Tshuvas, where he wants to say that Megillah is a kiyum of Mechias Amalek, of Zechiras Mechias Amalek. Actually holds that if you didn't hear the reading Parsha Zohar, that this would actually act as a potential substitute to be Mekayim Zechiras Mechias Amalek. Another fringe of a Daraisa. So actually, the Megillah has a lot of chumras to it, beyond the regular mitzvah Derabbanan. But perhaps, now in spite of that, for some reason, women have a different obligation by when it comes to Megillah. I'm sure some of you have been following the news in Eretz Yisrael. This last Motzei Shabbos, one of these Sfardish great poskim in Eretz Yisrael, Chacham Ovadia, he said in his shir, in his Motzei Shabbos shir, that a woman, could be Motzei a man in Kriyas Megillah. I don't have to tell you what's going on now. He has now 24-hour security guards taking care of him. Because it's been very lebedic. And Nebuch, all he really said was, he repeated what the Shulchan Aruch says, that L'maisa, and Isha's Ksheira B'di'evet to read the Megillah. We don't have a woman read the Megillah. There is a Bahag. The Bahag says that a woman has a different obligation than a man, because she's only Chayiv and Shmiyah. She's only chayiv to hear the Megillah, she's not chayiv to read the Megillah. And since she's not chayiv to read the Megillah, so it's a different kind of obligation. However, the Gemara in Erech and Dav Gimel says very clearly that a woman is chayiv in Kriyas Megillah and can be mighty a man. The Gemara in Megillah, Dav Gimel, Dav Dalet, just says, Noshim chayovis b'Kriyas Megillah. But the Gemara in Erech says, Hakol chayovim, and the Gemara there says, even woman. The Gemara says, "Lahoitzi anoshim, lahoitzi dechavos." That a woman could be mighty anybody. The Gemara seems to say clearly, not like the Bahak. So from that sugi and erech. But the fact is that this bahag is brought down in halacha. What Rabbi Avadya Yosef was saying was that if you're in an out-of-town community and there's nobody there that can read for the men, but the eved, a woman could be moti. Because after all, according to majority Rishonim, a woman is chayev and can be moitzinish, according to the Bali Toysmas. But then he spoke about Kalisha. Is it a problem of Kalisha, especially if they read it with the trop? Is it a problem of Kalisha? So it was an interesting shir that he gave, and it's still cooking right now as we speak. It's definitely Mavushal Kol Sarkai at this point. Chayev skila when you cook something, and now it's still cooking. Mitzdamek v'yafalai. Still cooking. But the fact remains that it's really a tremendous chiddush. Why is a woman's obligation by Megillah different than a man's? If in fact it's afen hoyu boisei anes, and they have a chiyuv to hear the Megillah, and the chiyuv Megillah according to many is the raisa, why in fact does a woman have a different obligation than a man? Why should it be different? Actually, there's a briskerov in the Griz, Sefer HaGriz, in the stencil, in Erechin, where he actually discusses this. The chiyuv of a woman, afen hoyu boisei anes, is it the same kind of obligation? Is it a new kind of obligation? But definitely, without any, you know, looking into it in a deeper level, on a simple, superficial level, a woman should be chayiv, just like a man. If a man is chayiv, a woman should be chayiv. Should be the same. So that's for sure, on a basic level, that would be the way to understand it. So the question is, why would the Chachomim have, you know, designed and created and structured a different kind of obligation for a woman than for a man? What are they trying to bring out with that? Okay, now, based on the concepts that we brought down, that it could be in Megillah is a concept of Hallel, there may be a way to wiggle around this, that for a woman she doesn't have the Chi of Hallel. It all depends how we learn the Hallel on Purim. Is it like Pesach, where Tosis and Sukkot Daf Lamed Ches says that women are Chayiv? Is it like the Hallel of Hanukkah, where the Rambam seems to say that women are potter from that Hallel, even though the Marchesha says a woman is Chayiv and Hallel on Hanukkah? The Rambam seems to say otherwise. There is some wiggle room. If you learn that the Megillah has all in it also Zechiris Mechias HaMolek, you also have some wiggle room. Because women, according to some Rishonim, are potter from Mechias HaMolek. So it could be that's where they have a different kind of Chayiv. So there is some room. There is some room to make a distinction between a man and a woman, why Chazal would have made the Chiyuv differently. It's possible. But I want to come from a different angle, maybe. Why a woman's Chiyuv is different, not from a halacha angle, from more of a machshav angle, to shed some light on this halacha of why the Kriyas Megillah for a man has one meaning, and for an Isha, Kriyas Megillah has another meaning. We'll take a little look at the Gemara, famous Gemara in Masechah Shabbos. It's really a Gemara that tells us a tremendous amount about Purim. At the same time, it doesn't really give us the meat of why it is that way. It opens the door that we know that Purim is something special. The Lashon of the Gemara in Megillah, in Shabbos, is Vayishyatzvu b'sachti sahar. Klal Yisrael by Matan Torah were under the mountain. What does it mean? They were under the mountain. They were next to the mountain. They weren't under the mountain. It says the Gemara, Rav Avdimi bar Chama, Bachazal Melamed Shekofel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Aleihem Esahar Kegigas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put the mountain on top of them. And he forced them into Matan Torah. Imatem Mekabu Mesatar Mutav. Vimlav Shom Teik Furastam. Of course, it's a very difficult Gemara. We know we already said Nasa v'Nishma. That's a question all the Rishonim ask. There's many different answers. Some are found in the Midrashim. Why did Hashem have to force us? At all. Rabbi Yoshe Ber Salvechik Zatzal actually had a very interesting pshat, which I also saw once in a Chassidish Sefer. Sefer Avnei Shoyam, a Talmud of the Baal Shem. Says the same idea. So you see, you can have a brisker and a chassidish rebbe. All it's all from one shepherd, Moshe Rabbeinu. The concept was that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu put a mountain on top of us, Really, we were prepared to be Mekabel Torah in that generation. But there were many, many nisyonos, many tests in the later generations that will make taking the Torah very difficult and keeping the Torah very difficult. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, for the future generations, that's why it doesn't say Khan, over here you'll be buried. It was more a symbol for future generations. The imlav, and in any generation that you won't accept the Torah, Shom, over there, take for Rasa. Over there will be your burial, wherever that will be. So then the Gemara says, Hodar kiblua bimei Achashverosh. The Chsiv, because it says in the Megillah, Kimu v'kiblu ayehudim. Kimu mashi kiblu kvar. This is the Gemara. The Gemara here is really an outstanding Maimar Chazal. The Gemara seems to be saying that until Purim, Matan Torah was not solidified. Matan Torah got solidified on Purim. We weren't, it was a marriage, but it was almost like an engagement. It was still breakable. The Gemara says, Moidor Rabbal Araisa. The Gemara says, we really, until Purim came, we had an excuse. We were forced to keep the Torah. That means we weren't fully married until Purim. That's unbelievable. Why? So Rashi just gives us a little pirush. He says, Hodr kiblu bimei Achashverosh. Rashi says, why? Ma'avas ha'neis. Because of the miracle that took place. What do you mean? We've had so many miracles in history. From the time of Matan Torah till the time of Purim. Greater miracles. Why all of a sudden now we accepted the Torah properly, beratzen? Doesn't make sense. How could that be? This is really very difficult. Actually, the Ramban in his Chidushim over here in the Sugya actually asks it for a question. He comes from all the angles. He says, what do you mean they weren't chayiv to keep the Torah till now? Does that make any sense? The Yidden had no chayiv? If they had no chayiv to keep the Torah till Purim, why did we ever get punished? In fact, why did the story of Purim unravel? The whole story of Purim unraveled because we did an Avera. What Avera did we do? We didn't have to keep it until after Purim. It's almost a catch-22. The whole story of Purim happened because either whatever, Hishtachfu Lutzelem, Nenu Misudasa Shalaisa Russia, whatever the reason was. But now you're sort of telling me that until the story of Purim happened, we have a good excuse. So why didn't the excuse work? I mean, it's a great kasha. It's almost whatever angle you come, it doesn't work. The Ramban, it's a very interesting approach where he learns that really, when we were Makabal, the Torah was Ba'oinis, and in fact, we had an excuse until we went into Eretz Yisrael. He says, once we went into Eretz Yisrael, there was a precondition. You go into Eretz Yisrael, you got to keep the Torah. So it wasn't Maimon Har Sinai that made the Torah into an obligatory sefer and an obligatory Kabbalah. It was going into Eretz Yisrael that turned it into an obligation. It's a fascinating Ramban. And that's what changed in the time of Achashverosh. That's what changed. Now another interesting point that we find, and this is found in the Rambam, in Perek Beis and Ilchus Megillah. So again, one outstanding element about Purim is that somehow it reflects completion of Matan Torah. I don't think there's anything we could say, any other Yom Tov that we could say, other than Shavuos, that has such a chashivas. So it would be interesting to try to get a better handle. Why? Why does Purim have such a strength? The Rashba actually discusses in his Tshuvas another very fundamental concept about Purim. The Rashba discusses the fact that the Rambam states in Perek Beis and Ilchus Megillah that Kol Amoadim Asidim Uhibotim, Kol Anuviim Asidim Uhibotim. He says, but Megillas Esther is going to always remain. And the Rambam then throws out this terminology. It's like Chamisha Chumshei Torah. k'torah shebal peh. It's like hamisha chumshei Torah and Torah shebal peh that will never be bought. Unbelievable Rambam. Forgetting the part of the Rambam that he says that the Nevi'im are going to be bought. That's very difficult to understand. And that's the Ravid. The Ravid goes, the Ravid is never bashful in the Hasogas and the Rambam. And this is no exception. The Chas V'Shol, where you tell me Nevi'im are going to be bought. So the way to learn the Rambam in a more parva way, parva approach, is that the Rambam really doesn't mean anything more than the Gemara and the Dorim. The Gemara says in the Dorim, Il mole chotu Yisrael, if the Yidden would not have done Averis, if Klal Yisrael would not have done Averis, all we would have gotten was Hamishachum Sheitorah, maybe Sefer Yeshua. None of Tanakh. So it almost sounds like we got rewarded for doing Averis. Maybe that's why in the yeshivas they don't learn Tanakh. That's a mitzvah haboah ba'avera, literally. Would have done haveri, wouldn't have gotten. Learning it is a mitzvah haboah ba'avera. But it's a pella. We wouldn't have gotten Tanakh. If not for the fact that we did haveris, we wouldn't have gotten Tanakh. It's unbelievable. So, the explanation in that Gemara is really another Gemara. The Gemara in Tainus Taftes. The Gemara says in the Seches Tainus, Leko midi diksivi binavi ubiksuvi the lawyer remizi baraisa. There isn't a word in the entire Nach, Nevi'im and Ksuvim, that isn't already hinted to in the Torah. Which basically means it's all in there. All the concepts and all the dvorim that the Yesodus, that the Nevi'im have established, the foundations that we've learned in Tanakh, on a higher level, we would have really been able to get out of Torah's Moshe. But then when we did the Averis, and our grasp of Torah has weakened, we needed more. So really what we needed was clarification. So Tanakh is a clarification of what we really would have had in the Hamishachum Shei Torah and Sefer Yeshua. That's what the Gemara probably means. And that's what the Rambam means. La'osid lovoi, we will go back to that level of Ulmolecha to Yisrael, and not that the Nevi'im will be batal, Chas V'Shalom, but rather we will be able to connect to that Nevi'im through the original Teres Moshe, the way it was originally. But this is what the Rambam says. He says that Megillas Esther is equated to Hamisha Chumshei Torah and to Torah Shebal Peh. So the Rashba doesn't deal with the fact that the Megillah, what does the Rambam even mean when he says it's like Torah Shebal Peh? It's not even, in the biggest stretch, we can't connect Megillas Esther to Torah Shebal Peh because it's Torah Shebiksav. So no matter what, even on Purim after you reach Adol Yoda, you wouldn't be able to connect Megillas Esther to Torah Shebal Peh, Torah Shebiksav. Right? That's Stam Apel. The Rambam says that it's like, it's almost, he takes two contradictions. He says, it's like Torah Shebiksav and like Torah Shebal Peh. That's the Rambam. He equates it to both. Which obviously Rambam's trying to tell us something. That it's equated to both. But, so the Rashba in his Shuvas tries to explain what's special about Purim. And the Rashba basically says, it doesn't mean that Purim is going to be less bottled than the other Yomim Tovim. He says, the other Yomim Tovim, you have to keep them properly in order to benefit from that Yom Tov. And there were times when we did not get a Pesach, because we didn't. We weren't on the level of internalizing the Chag. There were times when we didn't get from the Sukkot, because we didn't internalize it. Like the Navi himself says, that there were many years we didn't make a Sukkot. But, says the Rashba, Purim, there was a Havtacha, there was a promise, there will never be a time, no matter what level we're on, that we will not get from this Yom Tov. V'zichro lo yosef mizara. We will always have a Purim, and we will always gain from the Purim. And that's, again, shows you the level of Purim, the unbelievable level of Purim, that it's on a higher level than all Yom Tov. The Vilna Gaon brings down that the famous Zohar, that Purim is compared to Yom Kippur. Actually, the Hasidim used to say that Purim is on a higher level than Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is only Kippur. Yom Kippur is like Purim. Purim is Purim. Purim is the highest level. And then everything else is Kippur. Like Purim. Now the difficulty, and by the way, this is a Medrash Tehillim. The Medrash Shoch HaToiv compares Purim to the highest days of the year. The Medrash brings down Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Klai Yisrael become a Beriah Chadasha, and then the Medrash Shoch HaToiv says, and Purim, that we renew ourselves, and it's like Yom Kippur. And I don't know about all of you, maybe all of you on Purim, you look like on Yom Kippur. You're walking around with your kippah and fasting. But I can tell you that me on Purim, I'm not at all in the same mode as Yom Kippur. In any way. In any way. And I'm not going to go through details. Truth is, I can't even go through details. So how could we say that a day of a year that is the most kosher wild day that we have, right? The most kosher wild day. It's a day where all the mishigasim are kosher. Not kosher, frum. Frum. I mean, Baruch Hashem, I've grown up from those days. I remember my days in the yeshiva lying on the floor. Everybody's on the floor. Nebuch, whatever they look like. Everything is nebuch. All over the place, and they're sitting there going, "Was I Makayim Adulayot?" That was the whole Purim was clearing, "Was I Makayim Adulayot?" That was the whole Purim. That was the fond memories of Purim. And even though the whole Adulayot, if you analyze it from a halacha standpoint, it's not all that clear that it even exists. The whole concept. There is a Gemara in Megillah that says, "Chayiv Nishlof Sumei Puri Adulayot." Assuming that Adalayada in that point of the Gemara means the way we explain it, there are many Rishayim who hold that it's not Lalacha. Because the Gemara brings down a story where Rabbi Shechted Rav Zera on Purim, and actually some learned that Gemara in a Lumdish way. Rabbi actually reached the level of Adalayada, and therefore Rav Zera, who was an equation of Mordechai, he actually mixed him up with Haman. And therefore, there was a mitzvah mechias amalek. So he shechted him. So it wasn't just Tom. It was like the guy on the floor was on mekayim adalayot. Now he wanted mekayim mechias amalek. So actually, because of that story, Rabbeinu Ephraim, the Ran, and the Balamor bring down Rabbeinu Ephraim that say they stopped the minik. That's it. Chayiv inish lufsume doesn't. We don't paskin that way. Still remember in high school when I saw that Rabbeinu Ephraim, it was so depressing. You mean there's no chayiv? No chayiv. That's his sheet. So it's true that there are Rishonim who disagree. The Pri Chodesh actually says that, he says no. He says that from that same Gemara I hold as a raya, we do paskin that way. Because the next year, Rabbi invited Rav Zera again. He said, let's do it again. And Rav Zera said, now this time I think I'm going to pass. So, lav b'chol shono yitzrach hashnisa. So, the Pri Chodesh says that if Rabbeinu Ephraim is right, that the halacha changed, that year they changed the halacha, what was Rav Zera worried about? The fact that Rav Zera was still concerned shows that that still was the halacha. That's how the Pri Chodesh explains it. And actually, the Pri Chodesh was machaven to one of the Rishonim. The Sefer Eshkol brings down that same proof. He says, it must be that Chayiv Inish is still a halacha, because we see that the next year, Rav Zera didn't want to participate. Must be that it was still a halacha. But then you have other ways to learn the Gemara. That ad is not ad, it's ad v'loy ad b'chlal. What the Gemara really means is you shouldn't reach that level. You're only allowed to get labor dick, but of course you have to know what's going on. So the Gemara doesn't mean through that level, the Gemara means up until that level. And that's how the Sfasem and the Bach learns that way. And the Yad Ephraim and the Shulchan Aruch, the side of the Shulchan Aruch learns that way. And the Bach says it like a Dover Pasha, and the Sfas Emes in his Chidushim in Megillah also states that the mitzvah of Adal Yada just means you have a mitzvah the entire day up until reaching that level, not beyond that level or hitting that level. And the truth is, it's most logical to learn that way, because then the Gemara really makes sense. The Gemara basically is saying you could be happy on Purim as long as you don't miss the point of the day. Adal Yada, you have a mitzvah to be happy on Purim, provided that you don't forget what the day is for. Otherwise, the Gemara is basically saying you should get so excited on Purim until you don't know what you're celebrating, which is very difficult to understand that concept. The Yavetz, actually, I don't know what, how did we get into this topic? Oh, because we're trying to understand the connection between Purim and Yom Kippur, right? Doesn't seem to be connected, Purim and Yom Kippur. Doesn't seem to be connected. Whether you learn like the Bach or Benu, however you learn, doesn't seem to connect. But yet, we see that there's this level that Chazal equates Purim to Yom Kippur. It's really a tremendous, tremendous chiddush that we have such a connection between something which seems so distant, so separated, should be so connected. The question is, why is that? Why is that so connected? So I'll tell you another question which always bothered me about the Megillah. I've mentioned this in many different shiurim that I give connecting to Purim. It always bothered me, the whole concept that on Purim there's this mitzvah that we have to sort of minimize the nes, almost. Normally, we always try to maximize the nes. We always try to bring out the fact, Hanukkah, we try to bring out the nes, Pesach, we try to maximize the nes. Purim, number one, when we talk about Purim, so we don't say Hallel. Okay, so now the Gemara goes through a thing, why don't we say Hallel? Oh, we stick it into the Megillah reading. Say Hallel. What are you? Why are we bashful? All of a sudden we're shy. We can't say Hallel. On Pesach do we say, you know what? We're not going to say Hallel. We read a Kriyas HaTorah about Pesach. That's good enough. We don't do that. We pour our hearts out and we say Hallel. So why on Purim are we looking for a shortcut? It's almost like the Gemara seems to be looking for a shortcut. You know what? Reading the Megillah is equated to it. Good enough. Why are we looking for that? Furthermore, according to most of the Rishayim, except for the Meiri, they totally made away with Hallel. Only the Meiri says that if you don't have a Megillah, you read Hallel. According to most of the Rishayim, it would seem that even if somebody doesn't have a Megillah, they still don't say Hallel. So really, Chazal just put Hallel all on the side. And they chose that, you know what, through the Megillah, Klal Yisrael will be Yotzer Hallel by reading the Megillah. Why'd they do that for? Another point. The Megillah is very, very progressive when you read the Megillah. Everything happens in a very progressive way. There's almost no point in the Megillah that you go, wow, it's unbelievable. Everything was sort of unraveled very, very normally. Right? The king got angry, got rid of his wife, he got another wife, she ended up being Jewish. And everything seems to be quite, has a flow, right? So you would think that we would try to bring out, by the way, this is a tremendous miracle. And that's why it would make sense that if you read the Megillah, really, when you get to the later prakim of the Megillah, then you start going, wow, it is unbelievable. It is pretty unbelievable the way everything just all of a sudden turned around. But if you read the Megillah from the beginning, really, it really weakens the Megillah. The Megillah would be more powerful, if you think about it, if you just start the Megillah from the end. You start reading about how Esther went in, at the same moment that she went in, Haman started falling on the bed, he went, Chavroina came in the tree, this, he got hung, everything, but when you read from the beginning, everything goes. That's why there's a Mandomer in Megillah that says, you know, don't read the whole Megillah. Don't read the whole Megillah. Why was he? He's trying to save time? Trying to, you know what, would he have to bother? Well, no. He fell, talk for his illness. Read the part that brings out the miracle. It would enhance the miracle to read less than to read more. By the Megillah, the more you read, the more natural it sounds. Just read the part that sounds amazing. No, We hold you have to read the Megillah from the beginning. Make it into natural. Much more natural. Another interesting point about the Megillah. The halacha is that if you read the Megillah out of order, you're not yours. That would also give you the opportunity of being able to see the miracle. Imagine if we read the Megillah and we started from the end. The victory and everything that happened. And then we went back to Vayhi Bimei. You would be all excited at the beginning too. If I tell you, you know, an unbelievable miracle happened. People want to hear every detail. When they had that plane that came down right in this neighborhood here, right? A couple of weeks ago. It was an unbelievable mess. That's an unbelievable mess. When you look at those pictures, it's just amazing. Planes floating on the water. And people are walking out on the wing. So I remember, whenever I go onto a flight and I see the instructions before when you get onto the flight, and they tell you, you know, in case there's going to be a problem, so this is what you should do. They make it look like the way that happened. The plane will slowly land in the water, nicely. And they have that cartoon plane, they show you how it's going to happen. It's almost like a Mickey Mouse, right? And then the doors are going to open. And everybody's going to calmly pick up their seat and put on that jacket like you're going swimming. And if that doesn't work, you whatever. There you go. It's so bullshit. And I'm thinking a plane is going down in the water. Nobody is going to be... People are going to be jumping on each other's necks. And they make it out of everything. If it's going to be very nice. It's going to be like... This is like a kiddush with 1,000 people and there's one potato group. Killed. But if you look, that was a bigger miracle than the landing. The way everybody walked out, you see those pictures that walk. And actually, somebody showed a very interesting thing. They had the first class on the plane. They didn't even have to get wet. Because the plane, if you look the way it was sitting in the water, like this. So the people that came out of the back door, they had to take their shoes off. People in the front, they had this thing. Business class pays. You don't even get wet. Walk out like a... But now people are interested in every detail. Because once you see such an unbelievable miracle, now they want to know what happened and how the plane... When the plane took off, when the plane took off, nobody knew anything at that point yet. What did the pilot say? What are you saying? Because once you see such a miracle, now you want to know every detail and every aspect. So if we would start the Megillah from the end, everybody would talk and want to say, wow! How did this whole thing happen? How did Esther get into the palace? And it would make the beginning alive. So you would think there would be a mile to read it backwards. But no. You have to read the Megillah in the order. The way it's brought down, the way it ordered. Right? Comes the Mari Beirav, and the Mari Beirav says, you know why? Because Chazal didn't want that you should get so enthused. Why did they want me to get enthused? I shouldn't read the Megillah of Mafrei. You know why? Because then I'll get all excited. Isn't that the point? Get all excited. See the miracle, and then you'll be all excited. But no, Chazal didn't do that. Why not? Why didn't they do that? Okay. I mean, this could go on and on, but I want to come to an end here. So, try to give you a little bit of an insight in this idea of Matan Torah, and why Purim enhanced our Matan Torah to this level that it did. To the unbelievable that level that it did. The Medrash Rabbah says, in Shir HaShirim, it tells us something very interesting about Matan Torah and about Purim. And it really tells us the difference. The Medrash is found in Parsha Zion and Shir HaShirim. The Medrash Rabbah says that by Matan Torah, it's almost frightening to read. By Matan Torah, we were Mechabed Hashem b'fiim with our mouths. We said Nasa v'nishma was very nice, but it wasn't with the lave. Believe on Baal Ima. But our heart wasn't with the program. Whereas on Purim, we were Mechabel, we reached a level of Ratzon. We had our lave. Even though our peh maybe wasn't on the level of Maimon Har Sinai, but our heart was there. And of course, many of the Mefarshim talk about this concept, and and what the difference was between Purim. What does it mean our heart was in the right place? It's like the Gemara says in Megillah that even when we did the Avera, we didn't do it with our heart. The Gemara says in Megillah, Daf Yud Gimel, Lo Yasu Elul upon him, it was only external. But what does this mean? That on Purim we wanted to lave, it was a different level. It really mirrors the Gemara on Shabbos, which tells us that on Purim there was some kind of Ratzon. There was some higher level of Ratzon that we didn't have by Maimed Har Sinai. So really, the Medrash and Shir HaShirim, the way I see it, and the Gemara and Shabbos, go together. They go together. They're coming from a little bit of a different angle, but really telling us the same concept. I want to try to zero in, what is that concept? What are Chazal telling us here? What was lacking by Matan Torah that got enhanced on Purim? What was this new level? We know that when the Torah was given, originally, the first Luchas were given, the Torah was going to be a different kind of Torah. A different Torah. Later on, we got this new Torah. The Torah that we got was what we call the Luchas Shniyim. It was on a different level. The first Torah was on one level, the second Torah was a different level. We all understand that to mean that the first Torah would have been, for lack of a better way to describe it, a better Torah. But unfortunately, we did the Chet HaEgel, and we sort of got plan B. It was plan A, we got plan B. I would imagine that's the way all of you would take it, you know, without really being able, we're not going to describe it that way, because it's not really a nice way to say the Torah that we have is not first class. It's definitely first class. But somehow the first Kabbalah was a more enhanced one. And those luchas got broken. And then we got the plan B. But actually, if you read the Beis Halevi in his drushes, in Simon Yud Ches, in the drushes of the Beis Halevi, and Rav Shimon Shkop, in his Sefer Shari Yoshir in the Hagdoma, according to both of them, really we got the second luchas that we got in a certain way was better for us than the first. The first luchas, there wouldn't have really been a conventional Torah Shebaal Peh, the way we know it. Because everything was in the luchas. Everything was written somehow in those luchas. We don't know exactly how, but we know that the luchas Rishonim had everything in it. And when the first luchas broke, and we got the second luchas, we didn't have the Torah Shebichsav that incorporated everything in it, but actually the line between Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaal Peh became much clearer. And that the Beis Halevi calls it almost like a Torah Shebaal Peh. Now why is that? What is that? What's behind that? And the answer, I believe, is that Torah Shebichsav, right, is something that's goli. It's something that's very, very clear. Throughout ages, even when we had Yidden that questioned their belief, normally the Torah Shebichsav remained intact by them. They would be clear from Torah Shebaal Peh. Right? The Torah Shebichsav was clear, almost indisputable. The whole story of Hanukkah, according to Chazal, only happened after we went into the era of Torah Shebaal Peh. As long as we had Nevi'im, we didn't have the whole danger of the Yevanim. Even though the Yevanim were there, Aristotle, actually, was alive when we still had Nevi'im. And what many people don't realize, historically speaking, is that the whole story of Hanukkah happened in the decline of the Greek philosophy. Because the epitome of the Greek philosophy was Aristotle. The Rambam says he reached the highest level of Chochmah, Aristotle. Secular Chochmah, the highest level possible. But the Rambam says, of course, not Nevuah. It's not beyond Nevuah. But he reached a tremendous number. And he was dead already 150 years before we started assimilating. Why? Because we still had the Nevi'im. As long as we had the era of Torah Shebichsav, we couldn't get influenced. Torah Shebichsav is very, very clear, structured. The Navi comes, he tells you what Hashem said. People are not sitting there clearing, questioning, hey, what the rabbi said, is that really right, is it wrong? Guy comes, he gives you a message directly from HaKadosh Baruch. And that era, we stayed preserved. Our Judaism stayed preserved. Torah Shebaal Peh reflects the nister of Torah, the hidden part of Torah, part of Torah that's not open. You sit in the Beis Medrash sometimes for 3 hours, and you come up with a thought, a new approach in the sugya. That's Torah Shebaal Peh. The Yerushalmi says in Peah, every thought that we have when we learn is connects to Moshe Rabbeinu and Har Sinai. But that's not clear. We're sitting in the Beis Medrash for 3 hours. We came up with a thought. That's Torah Shebaal Peh. That's the mister of Torah. And therefore, when Klal Yisrael did the chet of the Egel Azov, and they showed that their weakness was when things weren't 100% clear. Moshe, who was our Torah Shebiksav, right? He was our structured Torah. When he was delayed, and we had to go ahead and use our own koyach, right? Then we fell apart. It became clear that Jews cannot be connected to the Torah just on the level of Torah Shebiksav. Jews have to be able to connect to the Torah when it's not clear. Not only when it's black and white, when Moshe is standing there, it's a medrash in Parshas Kisisa, where Moshe Rabbeinu says, what's going to be after I die? He was concerned. That's what Torah Shebaal Peh is. Torah Shebaal Peh is the mister of Torah. It's the hidden part of Torah. It's not open. And that's something that we needed after the Chet HaEgel. We've shown that we need that part of the Torah. And that's why the Torah got broken up then from the Nigla to the mister, from the Torah Shebiksav to the Torah Shebaal Peh. And that's what the Torah Shebaal Peh reflects. And as much as a Jew connects to Hashem, even in the hidden way, that's how much he connects to the concept of Torah Shebaal Peh. And the more a Jew says, I only believe what's in front of me, what I see, what's clear, what's black and white, the more he's clinging to Biksav. He's not clinging to Baal Peh. So I want to tell you a simple idea. When Klal Yisrael got the Torah on Har Sinai, that was an era of Torah Shebiksav. And the Rishonim explained that the part of the Torah that we had difficulty then with was Torah Shebaal Peh. That part we didn't connect with. But when it came the time of Purim, something very unique happened. The Nahafachu. Everything that seemed to be so hidden became clear. Haman, which we thought was actually going to be a disaster, we ended up having Yeshua. Every aspect of Purim showed us that what we see is not really what it is. There's a hidden part here. There's a Rabbanu Shel Olam that's pulling the strings, not only when the Yom Suf splits, but even in day-to-day living, there's miracles every day. I just told over a story to a group of people about talking about the hidden part that we don't see. But Hashem is always there making sure, taking care of us. I said there was a story in Eretz Yisrael. There was a guy who, every boy that dated his daughter, he was a chush of a guy, and every guy that dated his daughter, he would check the guy out like crazy. You know, check his high school rabbeim and his elementary. And then finally, this guy got himself a Rosh Hashiva, who he used to call, and we call him like a litvak. You know, a litvak doesn't give you any good information about somebody unless they deserve it. And even then, maybe. But if they don't deserve it, they're not going to give you. A good litvak, you call a chassidish rebbe, you ask him about a chassid, he'll tell you, sweetheart. Yirei Shemayim, he's a tzaddik. How does he learn? He would like to learn if he, whatever. He would learn. Right? You call a litvak, you say, what's he like? Average. How does he learn? I'm Oritz. You get the straight, you know, and sometimes a little less. You never get more. A litvak is never over Baal Tois. Right? They're very mocked, but I'm Baal Tois. So, this guy called this Rosh Hashiva. Always when his daughter would read a shidduch, he would call this Rosh Hashiva. And this Rosh Hashiva would usually tell him, you know, stay away, whatever, that'll be the end. Ends up, his daughter got engaged to a very mediocre guy. A guy that was having such difficulty with shidduchim because he was average. Very just an average guy, and he was having difficulty. He was looking for a very good shidduch, and it just wasn't coming. How did it happen? What happened was, This guy actually called this Rosh Yeshiva. The same Rosh Yeshiva that he always called that gave him the power of negative information about everybody. He called him up, and the guy told him in Ivrit, Hakol Mishunin. Hakol Mishunin, meaning everything is strange with this guy. What a report. What do you say about the guy? Hakol Mishunin. The guy's just... Okay, Kol Tov. That was the end of the conversation. So this guy thought that when he said Hakol, it was with a Kuf. Not with a Kuf. A Kuf. So he thought he meant Hakol. The voice is Mishunin. Doesn't have a good voice. So he figured, if this Kol Tov Litvak, the only bad thing you could say about the guy is that he has a schwacher voice, he's probably unbelievable. And I'm not looking for a chazan for my daughter. Say, he won't be a chazan. This is good. She really meant that. Call me, shouldn't it? And Lamaisa, he got the shidduch. And the end is they went to be Messiahs, which were Chaim. They ended up, the shidduch went through, and they lived happily ever after. But the Rebbeinu Shem made sure that that should have happened. The Rebbeinu Shem is always pulling the strings for us. We don't always see it. One of the greatest Talmidim of Tzanz, the Divrei Chaim, the holy Divrei Chaim, put out a lot of tremendous Talmidei Chachamim. One of his biggest Talmidim was the Divrei Yitzchak, Yitzchak Yalos, somebody who say for I really have tremendous Hanor from learning. So the Divrei Yitzchak was actually born to a couple that for many years didn't have children. Many years they didn't have children. And this Divrei Yitzchak's father went to the Divrei Chaim for a bracha. Said, please give me a bracha, I should have a son. He had no children. The Divrei Chaim told him, listen, I'm giving you a bracha. Mr. Shem, your wife is going to have a boy, and you should call him Yitzchak. And he will be a great light in Klal Yisrael. This chassid was so convinced, his Rebbe said it's going to happen, that it was done. He told his Rebbe, he told the Divrei Chaim, is it okay? I'm going to the registry now. In Russia, when you have a child, you register, I had a child. I'm going to the register that I had a child. And I'm going to put down the name Yitzchak. You told me to call him Yitzchak. Can I do that, Rebbe? I want to do that. I said, fine. Do it. He went to the local registry. He put in, my wife had a baby boy. What's the name? Yitzchak. That's how sure he was, his Rebbe was saying. What happened was a year later, to the time that his Rebbe said, his wife had a baby. But it was a girl. Couldn't call her Yitzchak. So it wasn't Yitzchak. So they still had in the registry that he was a Yitzchak and that he was a Leah. The next year his wife had another baby. Was also a girl. Five girls. One after the other. But the chassid is still a chassid. Number six was a boy. And he called him Yitzchak. And he knew there's got to be a cheshbon. When the Divrei Yitzchak turned 12, he was drafted into the Russian army. Because they draft boys when they turn 18. And he was registered 6 years before. So they drafted him into the Russian army. They drafted him into the Russian army. They took him for his exam. And the doctor looked at him and went, this is an 18-year-old, this little skinny, garnished. He's not worthy to be in the army. They did one other test on him, and they all decided he doesn't have any, there's nothing to him. He's not Roy. They sent him back, he was able to devote his life to Torah. So Baruch Hashem is working there, it's pulling the strings. Right? We don't always see it. Purim was the ultimate such time where every single aspect of Purim was hidden. It wasn't one of those miracles that had a lot of fanfare. It was all hidden. When the Nes happened and Klal Yisrael saw that Hashem was there at every step where they thought everything was going against them, they now appreciated Hashem in the Nister. They came to a new appreciation. The opposite of Maimon Har Sinai. Maimon Har Sinai, we saw Hashem in the glory. We saw Hashem when everything was clear. The story of Purim was when we internalized and we saw Hashem in our hearts. We saw even day to day how things that don't seem the way they're going in our direction, that there's a Father, there's Avinu Sheba Shemayim. And therefore, once we were able to accept that, we were able to accept the Nister of Torah as well. And that's why we had a new reawakening in Torah Shebaal Peh. because we accepted Hashem on that level of Nister. That's what's unique, what happened for it. Chazal therefore came and they said, you know what? Halal has no place on Purim. Halal talks about the tremendous miracles that took place in history. That doesn't have any shaychus. Purim is a time where we want to show in the nature that Hashem is there. The halal of Purim would be limited if we would say halal. Because halal is the Pesach element. Purim is the element where you see Hashem when it's not opened, when it's not clear. That's why Kriyasa Zui Alayla. What's the proper halal on Purim? To see Hashem in the hidden. To see Hashem. And that connection to Hashem could never be broken. Because whatever level we're on, whatever time in history, we always have Purim. V'zichra lo yosuf mizaram. We haven't always lived through a history of Kriyas Yamsuf. That's our glorious times. But the Purim connection is always there. That connection can never be taken away. And that's why, that's what the Rashba means. That the connection that we have to Purim doesn't matter where we are. Because that connection to Hashem is always there. That's the Torah Shabbat Peh connection. And that connection in the Nistar, we always have. And that's why we don't want to stop reading the Megillah from when the plane landed on the water. Because we're trying to bring out the natural part, the natural connection. So we dafka read the Megillah from the beginning. And we show, you know, even when things don't look the way you'd like them to look, Hashem is there. And you have to connect to Hashem on that level. And that's the trial of Purim. And that trial, that Nisayon of Purim that we overcame, gave us the new connection to Torah Shebaal Peh, which is also the hidden part. We know the Torah and the world run together. So when we accept Hashem on a hidden level, we also zoicha to a new level of Torah, to the hidden level of Torah. And therefore, when we read the Megillah, even though the Megillah is Torah Shebiksav, we're reaching a new level of understanding of Torah Shebaal Peh. Says the Rambam, Harei kechamisha chumshei Torah. It has the mile of Torah Shebiksav, but it also is Ketorah Shebaal Peh. Because the hidden part of the Megillah connects us to Torah Shebaal Peh. So that's why the Megillah is catching both. A woman on the other end, we know her connection to Torah, she doesn't have the chiyuv to learn Torah. She doesn't have the obligation to learn Torah. Furthermore, according to many of the poskim, a woman's learning, a focus, is supposed to be primarily on Torah Shebiksav. And that's why, in order to create this clear line, that the Megillah has also Torah Shebiksav and also Torah Shebaal Peh, they made the chiyah for a woman a little different. So that we have the clarity that the Megillah is also celebrating the Nistar of Torah. The Torah Shebaal Peh of Torah. A woman reads the Megillah for the Persuminisa of Purim. But the man has in the reading of the Megillah also the Talmud Torah of Purim. And that Talmud Torah woman is potter from. And since she's potter from, therefore the obligation of the Megillah is different than a man's obligation. And that would also explain the whole flow of Chayiv Inish Lefsume. Why do we want to reach the level that we don't know so much who the characters were? Mordechai, Haman, because really Purim connects us to Hashem even when this Haman is standing there. And that's the idea of Purim, to reach that level. And once we reach that level, we have the ultimate Kapara. It's even a higher level than Yom Kippur. Because Yom Kippur, again, is the Migla. Yom Kippur is the time when we see Hashem in the open. When Hashem comes in a glorious way. And Mechaper our Averis. And Purim is a connection even when we don't see that. And that's why in that level, Purim is even on a higher level. And now I could tell you, this would also explain why we know the second Luchas that we got, right, was when? Yom Kippur. So the Torah Shebaal Peh we got was on Yom Kippur. So really, Yom Kippur, besides being a day of Kapar and a day that we fast, should really be a day of celebration. Just like Shavuos. Why don't we have a Suda on Yom Kippur? You know what the answer to that is? Because we can't. But Purim, when we strengthen our connection to Torah Shebaal Peh, that's the Suda of Yom Kippur. Because the Suda of Purim is really the Suda of Torah Shebaal Peh. Torah Shebaal Peh that we got on Yom Kippur, the second Luchas, are being enhanced on Purim. And therefore the Gaon says that the Suda of Purim is really also a Suda for Yom Kippur. Should all have a wonderful Purim.